It's important in the face of any crisis or any challenge in life to examine, because it's an opportunity to examine, what is your deepest belief about safety? What constitutes safety? Does it mean that you don't die? Does it mean that you don't get very sick? Does it mean that there isn't a loss in your life? What constitutes safety? This is a question that every human being faces in a deep way, because historically we collectively have lived with fear, the fear that's produced by feeling alone in the universe, the fear that's produced by feeling that we have to take care of ourselves. So we come into this life with a lot of issues about feeling safe or unsafe, or questions, I should say. What constitutes safety? Well, there are two different ways of looking at that. One is that safety depends on the outcome of things. In other words, if a person recovers from an illness or from an accident or from something that's a calamity that's happened to them, then we say, well, God was with them, or they were safely held, or something like that. We approach the question of safety in terms of the outcome, what has actually happened. And then there's a question of why we do that too, because maybe there's something more important than physical healing. I say that because I am assuming that you can understand that there might be some other kind of healing or growth that's important. But our instinct from our past is to look at things in physical terms. So we look at outcomes and say, well, it turned out well, so it must be that I was safely held. But we're in a time now when we are trying, we being all souls who are embodied on the earth, trying to find a new way of understanding who we are in relation to the universe, what constitutes safety, and the shift from looking at it in terms of outcomes to looking at it in terms of an inner sensibility. That's a very big and important shift. It means that the actuality of God with us, that's a possible experience, no matter what else is going on. That covers a wide range of territory, no matter what else is going on. Because your physical body wants to feel better and can feel quite unhappy, dysfunctional, in pain, and so on. So it's not that one needs to give up the idea that it's better to be pain-free, or it's more comfortable, or it's healthier. I think it's part of the human condition to relate to the body this way, to want it to not be in pain. But does that mean that you're not safe if you're in pain? What constitutes safety? This is a question to ask inside yourself, because we have different beliefs about this, the answer to this question. And one of them is that love can hold everything, and the more powerful love can be the source of safety. Love can hold everything. In other words, divine love can hold any circumstance if it's felt strongly enough, can hold any pain, any circumstance, including death, including any kind of limitation, if one feels it. That's the nature of love. That's a premise of what we're made like. We're made to experience that kind of inner safety, that inner sensibility of being held in love. And the way I'm speaking of love also, it's not love as we talk about it on the human level, as affection, but it's love that comes with a sense that peace is possible. Everything is complete in itself. In other words, things don't have to be different. That would be the translation of divine love, that there is enough of it, enough of what it, divine love, gives, that nothing else is needed. That's what constitutes safety, that everything is all right the way it is, even if it's painful, even if. So that's a very different way of looking at things than the way we look at things with outer eyes and the way we look at things with the sensibility of fear. Because we don't normally say everything's all right when we're in pain. We don't normally say that until we're feeling pain-free or everything's better or the crisis is over. But it is possible. It's possible to feel safely held in the presence of great difficulty. And the way of that is union. The way of that is to feel the unity of oneself with the divine within so that you can feel safely held. Many of us don't know that this is even a possibility, that the feeling of safety can exist independently of external circumstance. I wonder if we took a survey here, you know, what we'd come up with about that, because we tend to fall back into the default position of what we've always known, which is wanting pain to be gone and wanting to feel better and feeling threatened if things aren't clear, let's say the outcome of an illness or the outcome of an accident or the outcome of anything. Let's say that that's uncertain. So then we wait for the greater information, greater knowledge, in order to feel all right. But what if it was all right to feel all right before then? What if you could imagine feeling safely held in that love that was complete in its communication, that it was enough, not in words, but in the feeling that it was what you held inside of that love was enough to make everything all right. There are people, lots of people, who have that kind of inner assurance, who don't have very sophisticated spiritual lives, but they have a deep sense of trust, deep sense of trust of the divine being with them, many people. And some of us may also be in that category, but many also return to the place of fear when things aren't going well or when the unexpected happens. It's like we lose our equilibrium. We lose our equilibrium. So I ask you to think for yourself, where is your equilibrium? And is it dependent on the outcome of things? Or is it something that you can feel in the presence of difficulty, in the presence of limitation? There is no life that exists without limitation. There's a consciousness that can exist. Your consciousness can be free, but that doesn't mean your life is free. It means your consciousness is free. So your life can be limited, your consciousness can be free, you can feel free, even though there's limitation in your life, because life is presently and historically full of limitations. In the future of humanity, the future of human beings, this will be very different. The more that alignment takes place with the divine, the more what we call co-creatorship of life takes place, as opposed to karma. And if karma is not happening to create limitation, then co-creatorship happens to create an outflow of divine energy to shape life. So we can look forward, humanity can look forward to that in an evolutionary sense, that life will be a different life when alignment with the divine is present. But now, what do we do now? Well, I hope that what we do is look for the place of safety and equilibrium inside. I hope that's what we do. I hope that when something difficult happens, that we don't go to the default position of panic, let's say, of panic or fright. Panic and fright come from the feeling of being alone. And that feeling is opposite to the perception that there is such a thing as God with us, to even the possibility of that being true. Panic and fright come from that. Also, panic and fright come from the belief in death. So if we have a belief in death, then anything that looks like it might lead in that direction creates panic and fright, because the illusion about believing in death is that you go someplace, but you're basically alone, and it's unknown, but it's not being safely held. So also, in addition to feeling God with us, and accompanying that, is the change in our understanding of death that will change our perception of what constitutes safety. If there's no such thing as death, if there's nothing to worry about when you get sick, then that takes care of a great deal of what creates anxiety for human beings. What I'm speaking of so far is just the dealing with the fear level about feeling unsafe. But the opposite, the other level, is about joy. Joy comes from feeling safely held at all times. Joy comes from feeling that everything's all right. It doesn't come from external circumstances. It may seem to, but it really doesn't. So also think, while I'm speaking to you about it, what is the source of joy? That's as important a question as, what's the source of safety? What's the source of joy? If you could imagine that your life could be exactly as it is now and you could feel joyful, try imagining that. The outer circumstances of life could be exactly as they are and you could feel joyful in the presence of this inner love that is the source of safety. Can you imagine that? Can we imagine that? So, beloved ones, this has many consequences, to think like this. It has consequences not only for our individual way of meeting difficult situations, it has consequences for nations. If the governing body or the citizens of a nation could feel safely held, then the projection of threat coming from elsewhere would be significantly reduced. And if the sense of endangerment and threat is reduced, then you have that much of less of an underpinning for why to engage in war, conflict, violence, retribution, defense, and so on. If each nation could feel secure within itself, safely held, life would change on the earth. People would change on the earth. Nations would change. Governing bodies would change. It all has to do with a connection with the divine as a source of safety. And then there'd be able to be discussions between nations where there have been intractable conflicts that have gone on for decades now, because the presence of threat wouldn't be there, and endangerment. So we can look at this on the individual level and on the collective level, that the alignment with the divine as a possibility is our future. And for those of us who are wanting to enhance that or deepen that or make that more available now, it's something to work towards now, to not believe what we've been telling ourselves, that things are only all right if they turn out this way, or they turn out that way, or they turn out that way. Maybe not. One final thought about this. You can't talk yourself into anything spiritually. Words don't do it. We can hold spiritual principles that are in words, but you can't talk yourself into feeling safe. But you can hold it as a possibility. You can, in any circumstance where you feel threatened or endangered or defensive or anything like that, you can hold as a possibility that there's another feeling that might be possible. You can't talk yourself into it, But even opening the door to the possibility that it exists opens the door to having an experience. And that's what we're all looking for, is an experience. If you open the door to the possibility of the experience that something internal to yourself, which is your divine being, could hold you in love in such a way that the outer circumstances in your life could be what they are and everything could be fine. That would be a way of looking at things that would change your life. Instead of trying to fix things, force things, eradicate things. Well, I'd like to close with a prayer for those who are experiencing suffering at this time and those who are experiencing unsafety and a sense of aloneness. We pray for the world, for ourselves and for all beings, that all who suffer may feel held in the embrace of love. Not some abstract concept of love, but an inner feeling of being loved and of being secure in that love, no matter what happens. We pray for ourselves and for all beings, that all may feel a oneness with life that holds that safety. The oneness with life is the Divine Mother, and the Divine Mother is what holds us in safety in life. May all who feel alone feel the comfort of unity. May all who feel in pain may feel the comfort of release from pain. May all who feel endangered feel the presence of peace. We pray for ourselves and for all beings, that all may feel safely held in the divine embrace of love. You know the traditional counterpoint to what I'm saying. It's that the human self looks at a catastrophic situation, let's say an earthquake in which many lives are lost, or mudslides, tsunami, serial killings, so many calamities that are present, and says, how could God possibly be present in that? Or, you know, the death of innocent ones, innocent civilians in a war zone, or innocent children that die sometimes through human manipulation or human action, sometimes a school bus overturns. And, you know, we feel aghast at the presence of tragedy that befalls innocence. So in that way, in relation to what I was saying, the human voice cries out and says, this isn't possible. It's not possible, if God is love, that this could be happening. It's not possible. And you may feel that inside of you, but that's the radical shift. If one could actually experience the inner alignment that I'm talking about, then that protest about what's happening to the body or to the life, or that it was longer or shorter, that wouldn't be the reference point. The problem is we're in this transition, so we're measuring safety or what we think should happen by the length of a life or by the presence of what we're calling innocence, and it is innocence. And so we say certain things shouldn't happen. And because we say certain things shouldn't happen, the next step is to say, God isn't present. Or how can God be present? The goodness of life is a principle of life. It's the purpose of creation. The goodness of life is the purpose of creation, to bring all beings into God consciousness, and on the human level, what we would say is wholeness. So that's happening all the time, but we don't witness it happening all the time. We witness tragedies and calamities happening all the time, especially today, with the news being what it is, then we are being fed a steady diet of catastrophes and tragedies all the time. So I am encouraging you to look inside yourself to see what you believe about safety, because we're reaching for a new definition, that it's not based on an outer standard as much as an inner standard. And where the outer seems to be inhumane, let's say, inhumane, then the response of the heart that feels alignment is not, how could God be present in this? No, that's not the response, because sometimes the answer is known. Most of the time the answer is not known about why things occur. The answer of a heart that's aligned in the way with I'm speaking with divine love says only one thing: what can I do to help? That's all. There isn't all the other questioning. There's just, what can I do to help? And that help may be what you're actually doing. It may be that you're helping through the change in your own conscious awareness to try and change the world. So the heart that's aligned with divine safety feels somewhere as a principle of its own being, the goodness of life, and then translates that into other things that happen that seem terrible to the human self, absolutely, and that have no explanation, but that heart that's aligned doesn't go to, therefore God isn't present. It goes to, what can I do to help? The goodness of life is ever-present as a principle in our being. It's not a discussable point on the soul level. The soul is participating in the goodness of life. It's not an opinion. It's part of the fabric of your being. So the goodness of life is only discussable because we see things through physical eyes. We see things and look at the outer level of things. And to the degree that we stop doing that exclusively, there's nothing wrong with doing it, we have physical eyes, but to the degree that we understand the inner relationship with life that is the divine embrace, then we're not conditioned to think, because such and such happened, this shouldn't have happened, this is terrible, etc. Our frame of reference changes. So we offer a prayer. When we look at things that we feel are tragedies and we say, what can I do to help? We offer a prayer. And this, as I've said to you before, may whatever gifts of strength and love, courage, hope, faith that may be thy presence within me, may what I have extend to those in need. May it be taken and given to those in need, that I may be of help. That's the prayer for those who are suffering. May I give what I have that has been given to me from the divine.